Welcome back, everybody, to the Cock of the Walk podcast. This is your host, Wesley Burris, and my co-host, Taylor Griggs, who's feeling a little bit under the weather today. I'm not going to get him to talk a whole lot this week, so I'm going to be giving you most of the stuff. He's going to try to contribute when he can. This is going to be our SEC West preview. This is our fourth episode, I think. Yeah, I think it's our fourth episode. We're going to drop a Tiger podcast as well tonight, covering the Coastal Division and the ACC. So I think just to get right into it, so we're not super long-winded, I think we went like an hour 40 counting all the music and crap on the last one. We're going to try to keep it about the same. No long-winded introductions other than me babbling right now. So first team we're going to talk about, we're going to go in alphabetical order here.
And power order.
Yeah. Well, the first team is the power order. That's for damn sure. The Alabama Crimson Tide. I don't think anybody needs an introduction to these guys. They are the kings of college football. They are the reigning kings of college football right now. They are hard to top, man, and there's really only been a couple of teams, or a handful of teams the last few years that have been able to give them a shot. I think I showed you earlier. They've lost five games in total in the last 4 years. You okay over there? All right. Well, don't do that in the mic. Oh, boy. An adventure it may be. Well, the Tide's coming off a title where they beat the Bulldogs. So I was definitely
when
pulling.
You beat the Georgia Bulldogs.
You're going to fear the Bulldog bite. Yeah, yeah. Rest in peace. Rack 'em, Willie. All right. I was definitely pulling for Bama the last 3 years in the national championship. And you know what? People say, oh, I'd like to see somebody new win it. Well, you did 2 years ago, and I don't want to get into that on this podcast. We all know what that is. So they've got coming back this year. Well, let's not get into that. Let's throw you some stats from last year first. I'm already kind of getting sidetracked here. Last season, they won the national championship, as I just said. They did lose to Auburn in the Iron Bowl in the final game of the regular season, 26-14. Before defeating Clemson and Georgia in the playoffs. So, you know, big wins for them last year. Florida State kind of beat them up early, physical game, close early, and pulled away late, just made Florida State play really sloppy, hurt their quarterback, you know, all kinds of stuff going on there. And just obliterated, we'll give you a couple big games, obliterated Ole Miss, and really, then you just cruising pretty much. The Mississippi State game was close. But
that was the one they – build up to be more than
what the state game.
Yeah,
well, Mississippi State was pretty solid last year. That was a big game, and it was a close game. It was a good game. Most of their other games were not. A&M was decent. They had a couple of boring games. They're not really that fun to watch to me. I do get tired of seeing the same thing over and over.
Rock.
It is. It's old school football. That's for damn sure. And they've got some of the best talent in the country. So. They went 13-1, 7-1 in the SEC, not counting the championship game. And we're going to read you a couple stats here. And last year, they had the 15th-ranked scoring offense nationally, the 13th-ranked rushing offense nationally. They had 37.1 points per game, I should say, and 250 rushing yards a game. Their passing totals last year per game were 193 yards for 91st in the nation. Total offense was 444 yards a game. That was 29th. So I'm going to give you conference rankings. We didn't do that last time. We'll just do national. Over on the defensive side of the ball, I made mention to you before we started this thing, just to be interesting here, they were the number three total defense in 2015. They were the number two total defense in 2016. And last year they came in at number one in total defense. Scoring, they were 11.9 points a game for that was first nationally. 94 rushing yards a game. Wow. First nationally. 165 passing yards a game. That was sixth nationally. And 260 yards a game. That was number one in the nation. Turnover margin, they were plus 14, and that was tied for fifth. Some nasty numbers for the Tide. The offense, like I said, 29th offense overall, and you have the number one defense in the nation. That's going to get you. That's going to win a bunch of ball games all the time. And this is a – big improvements on the offense. Well, not big improvements on the offensive side of the ball, but improvements the last 3 years as well. They jump forward almost 10 spots every year in the national rank. That's pretty damn impressive. And they've lost. They've got turnover, not only big turnover this year on their depth chart. They've had some big turnover the last several years in their coaching staff. I mean, really, Saban the last 4 years has had to rebuild and retool what he does, because he's lost Kirby Smart. He's lost, you know, Pruitt. And there's things – I don't know. We'll see how they rebound this year. I do think that they're going to be all right, but there are question marks, and we're going to get into them real quick. 9 starters returning overall, 7 on the offensive side of the ball, only 2 on the defensive side of the ball. Now, as you said, they like to pound the rock. Of course, everybody that watches college football knows that. They did bring in a nice recruiting class again this year, 6th nationally, 2nd in the SEC to Georgia. 3 blue chippers. They're just bringing in studs. This is automatic for them right now. Couple stats from last season before we get into the depth chart. And Jalen Hurts had 2,081 yards, 17 touchdowns, and only 1 interception as the quarterback of the Crimson Tide last year.
And had to
relinquish his spot in the championship game to the newcomer. And, you know, this guy is Tua Tagovailoa. I think I said that right. I hope I did. I've heard his name, and I'm still going to screw it up when I'm reading it. So don't get used to saying those Samoan names. We don't see too much of them around here in Southeastern Conference football. But he ended up throwing for 11 touchdowns and 2 picks on the season for 636 yards. Now, most people are considering him the starter, and I don't know what you think about that. I think Jalen Hurts kind of got exposed against the better defenses, against Clemson, against Auburn. He really struggled. Auburn had a really good defense last year. A lot of people forget that. I mean, they really did. And Clemson, of course, everybody knows they did.
Well, them and Clemson had a
– And Georgia did as
well. Standoff.
Huh?
At the beginning of the year.
Oh, Auburn and Clemson could do anything in that ballgame. I mean, nothing. Was that 14-6 final,
low,
I think, or something like that? Yeah, it was crazy. And we'll get into that in a second when we get to Auburn. But, you know, so now the stout defense of Alabama, I can't remember the last time they lost 9 starters on D. So it has to be a long time ago. I think that last year they had 5 or 6 starters back. I could be wrong on that. I'm not going to go look it up right now. But 2 back is tough. You want to just go into – I can't even remember how we did the last version of these, and that's not real professional, but just go into the depth chart, and then we move on to what we think is going to happen this year. Isn't that how I did it?
Yes.
All right. So on offense, Tua Tagovailoa – and Jalen Hurts are going to battle it out, but I think we know where that's going. Jalen Hurts had flirted with transferring. We'll see. Some people speculate that he's going to be at the wide receiver position or jump back there at tailback. I really don't know. So we'll have to wait and see. One of their offensive minds, of course, you Gamecock fans will know, Dan Warner has joined our staff in Columbia. So maybe a little shakeup on the offense. I really don't know how much. I haven't really delved into what they're going to be running. I don't really want to even go into that. I'm just kind of trying to give you a little preview of who they've got coming back and whatnot. Move on with that. So at the running back position, we've got Damian Harris, and he will be backed up by Najee Harris. And this is interesting.
What?
Are they related? It doesn't matter. last year, Damian Harris had 1,000 rushing yards, 7.4 carry, 11 touchdowns. That's pretty nice. Nice numbers there, and I'm sure they've got a plethora of backs. They're not only going to play 2, but they could and beat the hell out of you with them. They got somebody else, I'm sure. Henry Ruggs III will play wide receiver. He only had 12 receptions as a freshman, but 6 of them were touchdowns. So he'll be backed up by Derek Keefe, who's a senior. Devontae Smith had the overtime catch to win the national championship. He'll be backed up by Terrell Shavers. Jerry Jeudy had 14 catches. And that tops everybody coming back at the receiver position, which is crazy to think about. He had a knee scope in the spring. He'll be backed up by Xavion Marks. So kind of some question marks here at the receiver position, but I'm sure there's a bunch of talent here. And people that come to Bama tend to know they're going to be in competition with the best, and some of them will wait. These guys are 4- and 5-star recruits, so I'm not doubting their abilities. Tight end, we got a returning starter, Hale Hentage, and he'll be backed up by Irv Smith Jr. At left tackle, Jonah Williams returns as the starter. He was All-SEC last season, and he's the only offensive lineman back at the same position this year. They've done some shuffling. At left guard, a returning starter who started at right guard last year is backed up by Josh Kasher. Chris Owens will back up Jonah Williams, by the way. Ross Pershbacher, he played center 2 years ago. He's back. give it another whirl. He was a starter last year, taking a new spot, backed up by Brandon Kennedy. Jedrick Willis Jr. is the right guard, and he will he's going to be backed up by Richie Pettibon, and there's some other competition here. Leatherwood is penciled in as a backup as well, so just a plethora of talent, like I said earlier. Matt Womack, returning starter, and he's going to be back at right tackle. He missed the spring with an injury, and Willis is also – Jedrick Willis Jr. is also penciled in here along with Leatherwood to back him up. At place kicker, you got Joseph Belovis, and he's a freshman. Austin Jones is a senior. He's going to give him some competition, so not really settled in there either. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, only two starters back, as I said earlier. Isaiah Bugs is one of them at defensive end, and he's the only returning starter on the line. Stephen Wynn will back him up. At defensive tackle, Quinnen Williams is listed as – they say he's not a pure nose tackle, not – they don't know if this is really his position, but they expect him to be to possibly excel at it. Johnny Dwight will back him up. Raekwon Davis is at the other end position. Last year he led the team with 8.5 sacks and 69 tackles on the defensive line, which in their scheme, the 3-4, they're meant to get the push, and the linebackers really are going to get all the plays because they're running free and the safeties and whatnot making all the plays. But always tough defensive line. There's no doubt about that. Anthony Jennings is the other returning starter, only other returning starter on the defense, and he's at linebacker. He missed the title game after knee injury, and Jamie Mosley is penciled in as his backup. Mack Wilson's at linebacker, backed up by Joshua McMillan. Dylan Moses also here has moved to the inside, had foot problems last season. He'll be backed up by Keith Holcomb. Christian Miller and his backup Terrell Lewis missed most of last year, but they're expected to play this year. So these are all guys that have been on the field, and they've been backups to other guys, and they've seen action when they get up big and whatnot. So I expect them to be solid. There's no doubt. This might not be – we'll get into it in a minute. There might not be a you know, like a 13-win team, but this could easily be a double-digit wins, I would think. In the secondary, Trayvon Diggs moved from wide receiver. He's going to be backed up by Shaheem Carter. Shavion Smith at the other corner position. He was a former LSU player, and he spent the spring working on his footwork and whatnot. Nigel Knott is supposed to back him up. At strong safety, Deontay Thompson filled in and started both, one in each game during the college football playoff. Jared Maiden will back him up. Xavier McKinney played primarily on special teams last year as a freshman, so a true sophomore coming in. Daniel Wright will back him up at sophomore as well. And Skylar DeLong is your punter, and he was a big prospect, they say. They're high on him. Sounds to me like I can't – I really don't know how to speculate, so I'll have to get into the schedule with you in just a second. Here are some recruiting numbers really quick before we get into that. They, like I said earlier, they finished sixth nationally in recruiting and second in the SEC. 3 5 stars, 12 four stars, 6 3 stars, and no others. Some newcomers of impact. Iyabi Anoma at defensive end, 6'5", 235 pass rusher. This is a guy that I could see him come in and play that jack position that they're saying, you know, that outside linebacker. He's up, he's down sometimes, whatever. At Patrick Surtain Jr. is a corner, 6'1", 199. He's expected to come in and compete immediately for a starting job at corner because they're not really settled on who they want to play. They've got a receiver over there in the secondary. We just went over that. And Jalen Waddle is a wide receiver. He's 5'9", 175 pounds, and they just think, you know, this guy can be a playmaker in the kicking game and the return game and all that kind of good stuff, catch and run. Eddie Smith's a corner. This is a sleeper, 6', 180-pounder. He's not the marquee name, but they think he's got a chance to compete. So, let's get into the schedule, Taylor. I think we were a little long-winded on the tie just because they did win the championship and they deserve to be talked about the most of anybody in the West. So, I'm going to read through and you're going to contribute with me on what you think is going to happen. September 1st versus Louisville in Orlando.
Win.
Yep, we went over that on our Louisville prediction. Arkansas State at home the next week.
Win.
At Ole Miss. A team that has given them trouble other than last year where they waylaid them. I think it's a win as well. I mean, I don't really know what Ole Miss has. A&M at home.
Win.
Team they have struggled with consistently, but I cannot call it a loss. They have too much talent in my mind. Louisiana, Raging Cajuns at home.
Win.
At Arkansas, I wonder if they play in Little Rock anymore. I don't even really know. I hate that I asked that.
Win.
That was a weird place to play. I can't call it a loss, bud. Missouri at home.
Win.
I hate to sound stupid in saying this. It's a win, but I will say I'm high on Missouri this year. I am. I think they're going to be tough, but got to call it a win at Tennessee.
Big win.
Yeah. At LSU.
Win.
Let's go ahead and I got to call a loss here. I mean, I just feel like the defense at some point, these guys, nine starters, man. I mean, you got talent. They will grow. I get it. They will grow. But so can injuries can happen as well, and then you're stuck playing even younger guys.
Win.
They're at LSU. LSU will make it a night game.
Win.
Mississippi State at home.
Loss.
You're going to flip it there. They are a dark horse, according to some experts. So, the Citadel.
Win.
Yeah, that's a big win. And they're going to finish it up in the Iron Bowl, of course.
With another loss.
All right, so you got Bama losing two games.
Yes.
Do they win the West losing those two games?
Yes.
All right, so when we get to Auburn in just a second, you're not going to turn around and say they beat Bama, are you? They lose to Bama, right? Okay. All right, well, 10 wins, we'll call it that. I don't see how you can say they're not going to win 10 games. They're an awesome football team. There's no doubt about that. So we're going to speed it on along, try to move on to the Hogs. What's your thoughts on the Hogs real quick while I get my stats out?
I always liked their coach.
You like Chad Morris?
No, their other coach.
Bielema?
Yeah.
Well, he's gone. Chad Morris is the new coach here, and Tiger fans will know, be familiar with him, and so will Gamecock fans. You know what? I think he won. He made SMU better. He made SMU competitive. I think it might take a year or two.
Yeah,
but
he's got a lot of up to do.
They were bad last year. They were 4-8, 1-7 in the conference. They were a bad football team last year, but the cupboard is not bare in Fayetteville. There's no denying that. He's hired John Chavis as a defensive coordinator, so there's a veteran SEC presence. I think he's built a nice staff in order to rebuild here because they need some work, obviously. But before we get into what they got coming back, we've told you their record. Last year, just to go over it really quick, they had a big loss to TCU, a crazy game against A&M, 50-43 in overtime. The Gamecocks took care of business against them, picking them off and turning them over late with fumbles and just a wild finish to that game and going up big. And then they beat Ole Miss and Coastal back-to-back weeks and then lost three straight and had one close game against Mississippi State. But, you know, this is a team that Bielema got here, and I thought he was a good hire because he liked to pound the rock. That's obviously what they did there. And he had a decent quarterback for a couple of years, but they just never got it going the way the Hogs fans want it. Morris is out there. He's a big name. He's got a hold on the newer style of offense, more up-tempo and whatnot. But he likes to run the ball a lot as well. A lot of Morris' stuff, if you'll remember, at Clemson was misdirection. You know, putting guys in motion, handing it off, you know, finding a little weak crease in your defense and exploiting it and then hitting big plays when you come up and sell the run. It's really not an overly complicated offense, but it's very exciting to watch. And I'm sure the Hogs fans are going to appreciate it. It might not be this year, but you give this guy 3 or 4 years, and I guarantee you people are going to want to go play here, man. They really are. I look at this team as a team definitely on the rise, and I don't think they can be as bad as they were last year, and we'll get into scheduling and all that later. But really abysmal on offense and defense last year. They were scoring offense. They had 28 points a game to rank 62nd, which doesn't sound completely horrible, at scoring 4 touchdowns a game. Rushing, 168 yards a game at 61st in nationally. Passing, they only had 205 yards a game. That was 83rd. And total offense, 373 for 94th ranked offense in the country on total offense. Defense, this is where scoring 36, gave up 36 points a game, Tyler. That was 114th nationally. Rushing yards, they gave up 196 a game. That was 97th nationally. Passing, they gave up 242 yards a game. That was 92nd nationally. And total 438, that was 101st. Just a bad defense, -1 in the turnover margin, which ranked 75th in the country. But look up Hogs fans because you got 17 starters back, 7 on offense, 8 on defense. Your kicker and your punter are back. So let's run into those guys real quick. And, well, let's go over there. Just do the recruiting real quick instead of waiting until last because some of these guys are probably going to be able to compete this year on this team. We might flip-flop it on another team. They only ranked 49th nationally, and they were dead last in the SEC in recruiting, which is – it seems bad, but you had a guy who's transitioning from another program. He's coming in. They lost a lot. The whole stuff with Bielema, you know, recruits flip nowadays, and you have guys that commit when they're juniors – and you got to keep them for 2 years before you can get them signed. It's tough, man. It's getting tough. This is it's an arms race in college football. It really is. And they're in the biggest pool you can be in where there's just so much money being tossed around the SEC. And in their division, just think about these teams we're about to go over. I mean, this is a brutal division, man. It really is. And they could come right back. But they've got 3 4 stars, no blue chips, 14 3 stars, and then no 2 stars. So they had a solid class. Again, we would scoff at that as Carolina fans. To be 49th, we hadn't been that low that I can remember. So, I mean, well, we can thank our stars. 3 newcomers of impact here. We have Bumper Poole at linebacker. Bumper Poole, 6'3", 214 pounds. He's expected to come in and compete immediately. Miles Mason at safety from Alabama. He's from Alabama that they got a stole here, 6'2", 205. And he's supposed to be in line for playing time immediately. And Dorian Gerald is a 6'3", 260-pound defensive end, number one defensive end in junior college. So I expect him to come in and see some playing time possibly. But a lot of starters back, as I said, will kick that off. On offense, the no starter has been named yet. Ty Story and Cole Kelly are in a battle. I almost said Muschamp. Morris is going to look for somebody here probably that's mobile, at least mobile. I mean, and a little bit more than mobile. The RPOs he likes to throw out there, and he likes his quarterback to keep it on the reads and read options and whatnot too. DeVois Whaley will be back at starting tailback. Chase Hayden, this is going to be a committee approach. Like I said, they did that with Bielema. They rotated backs. They recruited a bunch of them. They've got little guys. They've got heavy hitters. You'll see a ton of guys running the ball for the Razorbacks. Jonathan Nance is back at starter at wide receiver. This is his second year. He was a junior college transfer that led the team in receptions last season with 37. Michael Woods is expected to back him up. LaMichael Petway, they say he has potential, but he's been here for 3 years and he hasn't really put it out there yet, but they're giving him a chance. Brandon Martin will back him up. Jared Cornelius has been – one of their best receivers the last few years. He had 32 catches in 2016 but got hurt last season. Devon Warren will back him up. Returning starter at tight end, Austin Cantrell. And this is a position strength the team has, so they'll use a bunch of them. At left tackle, starter Colton Jackson is back. He'll be backed up by Shane Clennon. Left guard, we have Hjalte Froholt. He's a Danish offensive lineman. He was new 2 years ago. He's now their best lineman, according to most sources. Kirby Adcock will back him up. Dylan Hayes is a question mark here. Frank Ragnow is off to the NFL, so Ty Clary and he will battle it out at the center position. Johnny Gibson Jr., he lost 20 pounds because they're going to the up-tempo spread. He's got to be able to move. He was a giant man. He'll be backed up by Jalen Merrick at right guard. Brian Wallace at right tackle, he's a returning starter. And Dalton Wagner will back him up. Connor Limpert was 8 of 9 on field goal attempts. He's returning starter at kicker. Chris Lopez will battle it out with him. Over on the defensive side of the ball, where I said we have 8 starters back, at defensive end, Gabe Richardson was a spring standout, so he's earned his starting spot right now. We'll still battle it out with Michael Taylor II, who is a senior. At defensive tackle, McTelvin Ageum is the best defensive lineman, has played tackle and end. He'll be backed up by Jake Hall. T.J. Smith is at the other defensive tackle position, also a returning starter, but moved from end after he started 12 games at there in 2017. So he's basically moved 2 defensive ends to the inside. So I guess he's looking for speed up front, or John Chavis is looking for speed up front and pass rush. Randy Ramsey thinks Ramsey John Chavis thinks he has an NFL future. He's going to start the other defensive end spot, backed up by Jamario Bell. Dre Greenlaw back at linebacker, 103 tackles last year as a starter. He's back with D. Walker backing him up. Dejon Harris, his name is Scooter. He had 115 tackles in 2017. Grant Morgan will back him up. And at linebacker slash nickelback, a little hybrid position here, Devon McClure was a baseball player and has decided to come back and play football. Him and Kevin Richardson, the second, who started this position last year, are battling it out there. Ryan Pulley will be one of your corners. And they say he's been a shutdown corner in the past, so he's healthy again, been banged up. And Chevin Callaway, they'll be your two corners, backed up by Brito Tutt and Nate Dalton. Cameron Curl has moved from corner to safety. He started at corner last year. Micah Smith will battle him at strong safety. Santos Ramirez had three fumbles forced last year, and he's going to be back at free safety, backed up by Monteric Brown. And your punter's back, Blake Johnson. And this is his second year starting, I think, and Chad Stevens is going to battle him there. So, we've already gone into the recruits, going into the depth chart. Now the schedule, Taylor. And, you know, like we said, they're relearning a 4-3. They were a 3-4 team. That's why you're moving the ends inside kind of guy. That makes more sense now. A change up on scheme takes its toll, but they're going to start the season out with Eastern Illinois. I think they can get things together. You're going to call that a win, I think.
Yeah.
At Colorado State.
Win.
Okay. North Texas at home.
Win.
Okay, I can't disagree. At Auburn.
Lose.
That's probably their first loss, but they could be getting it together on offense by then. You never know. Last year they last year they got blown out by the Tigers. Texas A&M, they're playing them in Arlington. Old Jerry World. Who wins that one?
Lose.
Again, huh? Okay. Bama at home.
Lose.
Ole Miss at Little Rock. Answers my question I asked myself earlier.
Lose.
Really? Okay. Tulsa.
Win.
This is bad right here, man. It's a tough little roll right here. Vanderbilt.
Win.
LSU.
Lose.
At Miss State. Start Vegas.
Lose.
Okay. Did I talk you into that when I said start Vegas? At the other Columbia, Missouri.
Probably lose.
Wow, Taylor. So you think Arkansas is only going to win 4 or 5 games? I think you said 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, you said 5. You got them going 5-7. I'm going to be a little optimistic for these guys. I think they're talented enough. I think they're strong enough and physical enough to maybe surprise somebody because, like, we've got question marks at Bama and at Auburn and at LSU. Still doesn't have a quarterback, allegedly, so I could argue with those a little bit. I'm still unsure about Ole Miss and A&M, so I'm going to give them 6 wins. I say they get at least 6. I think they go bowling in Morris's first year.
Well, you can go bowling with 5 wins.
No, you can't. 5-7 ain't going to a bowl.
They had teams that have worse records than
that. I'm not going to say it can't happen because they're probably going to add 4 bowls this year. I haven't even looked into that. Well, let's get off the hogs and talk about the other Tigers, the Plains, Auburn. Last season, 10-4, big time defense, struggled a little bit on offense at times, had to struggle with Clemson, like we said. They had a close, 14-6, they lost at Clemson. Then they reeled off 4 straight before losing at LSU 27-23. That was a game I think they were up 20-3 or 23-3 and ended up losing that game. That was insane. Then reeled off 1 out, 5 straight to end the season. And then got to the SEC championship game and lost to Georgia in a big way. Georgia got revenge, won when it mattered in Atlanta, and then went back to Atlanta and played in the Peach Bowl and lost to a team that's claiming a national title, the Central Florida Golden Knights. All right. Now, last year Auburn's rankings nationally were pretty darn good. On offense, scoring offense, they had 34 points a game, which ranked 27th nationally. Rushing, they had 218 a game to come in at number 26 nationally. They had 233 passing yards a game, which was 65th nationally. And total offense was 451 yards for 26th rank. That's pretty solid numbers, man. I wish we could get some numbers like that in Columbia. I'd feel really good, honestly, with numbers like that. When you can rush for over 200 a game, pass for almost 250 a game, that's nice. Defensively, they were very stout. They only gave up 18 points a game. That was 12th nationally. Rushing, they only allowed 137 a game, which was 35th. Sure, they'd like to have better numbers than that. Those are pretty darn good. Passing, they gave up 182 a game. That was 18th in the country. In total defense, they gave up just under 320 yards at 319 to rank 14th nationally. But they were minus one in the turnover margin, so they didn't that probably cost them a couple games there. That's what that story tells you, because their offense was really good and their defense was outstanding, and they just didn't take care of the football. So we do have six starters coming back on offense this year, on offense, and seven on defense, and your punter, for a total of 14. So that's not bad. I mean, that sounds pretty good for them. And we'll go ahead and talk about some newcomers here that might contribute in recruiting. That's Coinus Miller at defensive tackle, 6'2", 300. That's a big dude. Matthew Hill at wide receiver, 6'2", 185. They say he's very versatile. He was a top 100 recruit out of high school. Joey Gatewood at quarterback, 6'5", 235. And,
wow,
that's, you know, Gus Malzahn likes guys that can run. He likes – this guy's an offensive guru. He is. He loves to pound the rock, but he needs a guy that can throw it better. That's what we thought Stidham was last year, and we'll see if he still can be. His numbers last year weren't very, very bad. 358 yards passing, 66% completion percentage, and 18 touchdowns and only six picks. So he took care of the ball. He took almost all the damn snaps, because most of the games were meaningful and close, with the exception of a couple. And he had a pretty good year. So, you know, they had a back that had 1,391 yards, as Kerryon Johnson. He had 18 touchdowns. And this is the scary thing. I mean, he's not back, but Stidham should have some guys here that can make plays. And I think him being in the system a while, he's still just a junior and a transfer from Baylor. So this guy's been playing under a lot of good offensive minds. I expect him to get better, but he's got some competition with that cat we were just talking about. Get right into it. We can go ahead and give you the damn rankings while I'm on that. They ranked 12th in the nation in recruiting, 3rd in the SEC, 18 4-stars, no blue chips, and 6 3-stars. Just an all-around good class for Malzahn. And this team doesn't look like they're going anywhere. They're going to stay right where they are. They're going to be tough as nails. Jarrett Stidham's back at quarterback. He's accurate. He's underrated in the run game. But I think sometimes against really premium defenses, he let them down. But, again, didn't make a lot of turnovers. He just didn't make mistakes. Malik Willis is scheduled to back him up. Cam Martin is going to get the first crack at the tailback spot. He'll be backed up by Jartavius Whitlow. Chandler Cox is back at the other running back position, because they're going to employ two, sometimes three on the field. And he's big, and he knows how to block. Spencer Nye is supposed to back him up. Darius Slayton is back. He's a big-time vertical threat. He's a starter at wide receiver, backed up by Jackson. Ryan Davis back, another starter at wide receiver. He's sure-handed, and he can run after the catch. He's going to be backed up by Griffin King. Nate Craig Myers, another big receiver, backed up by Davion Barrett. So a lot of offensive weapons back, even though they're missing their big-time tailback from last season. Only one starter back on the offensive line. That's Marquis Harrell at left guard. He'll be backed up by Bradarius Ham. Over at left tackle, Prince Tega Wanago has only played football for 4 years, but they're saying he's an unlimited potential, backed up by Bailey Sharp. At center, Caleb Kim was impressive, they say, before he got injury prone a little bit the last couple years, and now they're saying that position's up for grabs with Nick Broms and a couple of others. Mike Horton at right guard started 7 games last year but lost his job late. He'll be backed up by Tyler Carr. Austin Troxell is supposed to battle with Calvin Ashley over the right tackle position. They still were back and forth after the A-Day game. Anders Carlson will be their kicker, and they're saying that he's just got a big-time leg. Over on the defensive side of the ball, a lot of bodies back. Marlon Davidson, big-time 3-year starter at defensive end, backed up by Nick Coe. Derek Brown, returning starter at defensive tackle. He's explosive as well. Just a dominant player, big-time player in the middle, man. These guys were nasty up front. They're going to be again this year, it looks like. Tyrone Truesdell will back him up. Dontavious Russell has played some of his best games in their big games. He's one of the best players in the SEC. Andrew Williams will back him up. At the buck position is T.D. Moultrie and Big Cat Bryant What a name.
Big Cat.
Big Cat Bryant. And they're going to battle it out for that position. Two of your linebackers other than that are starters coming back, Daryl Williams and Deshaun Davis. Daryl Williams is a three-down guy. He just doesn't come off the field. Chandler Wooten backing him up. K.J. Britt will back up Deshaun Davis. Montavis Atkinson will step in, a guy that's been moved all over the field, and he'll be backed up by Richard McBride. At corner, we got Javaris Davis and Jameel Dean. They're going to be your starting two corners, backed up by Noah Imbagoine and Kristen Tuck. I don't know how to say that name. Whatever. Some of these names blow my mind. Jeremiah Denson is starter at returning starter at strong safety. He'll be backed up by Smoke Monday. Who are these names? Fate.
Smoke Monday.
Smoke Monday. Daniel Thomas, not Dave Thomas, had a good spring. He's back. It's free safety. He'll be backed up by Jamie and Sherwood. And your returning starter at punter is Aiden Marshall. All right. Let's get into the schedule, Taylor. What do you think about the Auburn Tigers as they take on Washington in Atlanta? That's a big game.
It is
man.
A big game.
That's a big game. It being in Atlanta, it'll be almost like a home game, though.
Yeah.
I'll give it to Auburn. Alabama State at home the next week.
Win.
Yeah. The Bungles, the Bayou Bungles, come in here the next week.
Win.
All right. Arkansas.
Win.
Southern Miss.
Win.
At Stark Vegas.
Win.
Tennessee.
Win.
At Ole Miss.
Win.
A&M at home.
I feel like they might drop a weird game.
Between the Hedges.
That's probably a lose.
Liberty at home.
Win.
At Bama.
Win.
You've got them running the damn thing. Taylor Griggs is calling it right here. Auburn wins the West. Is that what you just said?
That's what it sounds like I said.
That's exactly what you pretty much just said. Now, I'm going to go along with you here because I wasn't going along there. So I will say, I think of all these games, the big games for them, the trap games for them, don't overlook Washington that opener, even though I don't know what they have coming back.
Yeah.
They've been talented the last several years, and they've got a hell of a coach. Don't overlook them, but it is like a home game, so I have to give it to them now. And I would say A&M, Georgia, and Bama, Mississippi State are your toss-ups. Out of those games, on paper, I think they're better than Alabama. They beat them last year. On paper, they're better than Georgia. They beat them last year. They got more starters back. On paper, they're better than Miss State. I think we found our SEC West champion. I think it's hard to pull against Alabama, but and we'll get into that at the rest of the show, but I think we might have found them. I can't disagree with you on a lot there. They're a hell of a football team. Now we're going to head on down to Baton Rouge and talk about the Bayou Bengals, LSU Tigers. And they've got some mess going on offense, firing offensive coordinators, losing a lot of players. The draft has taken its toll on them the last couple of years. They are their fans and their media, local media, are getting on Orgeron for kind of acting like 9-4 was a good year, is what they think. You're acting like 9-4 was a good year, but that team in Tuscaloosa is winning national championships, beating you on a consistent basis, and winning 12, 13 games a year average. So I mean they are behind. But as we were talking about earlier when we went over them, some of the team's records from last year, they did only lose – I mean, they lost at Mississippi State in embarrassing fashion. They did lose to Troy. Now, this is why I would say the media can be rough on him about 9-4, because there's no excuse for LSU just going and getting obliterated by Mississippi State the way they did. There is absolute no excuse for losing to Troy at all if that game was played on Mars. They should win. And losing at Alabama is not that big of a deal anymore. But, you know, they do feel like the also-rans now, where they were right at the top of the conference. But guess what? They've got plenty of talent. We'll get into that in a second. I'm sure there's question marks around this team. And when we get in their schedule later, we'll give you our predictions so you'll know where they stand. Last year, their numbers weren't horrible. 54th ranked total offense at 411 yards a game. Their passing totals were 203. That was 84th nationally. Rushing 207 a game. to rank 28th in the country and scoring 27 points a game, which puts you all the way down at 76th in the country. You're only scoring 27 points a game. 27 points a game now. Let's call it four touchdowns. That gets you ranked a whopping 76th in the country. Isn't that something, how far the game has come? It really has. On defense, they were nice, scoring on allowing 19 points a game for 14th nationally, only allowing 128 rushing yards a game, which was 24th, only allowed 187 passing, that was 21st, in total, 316 for 12th national rank. They were plus 10 in the damn turnover margin to rank 16th in the country. So those numbers would lead you to believe they could have been better than 9-4, and obviously they could have. We just said they lost to Troy, inexcusable, and it got obliterated against Mississippi State where they could find no offense, and that has been the problem. No quarterbacks here, and Danny Etling, who had okay, mediocre numbers last year. Now, he only threw two picks, don't get me wrong, but the quarterback at LSU is not asked to do a whole lot, and he really didn't have the physical tools to do a whole lot. He did throw for almost 2,500 yards and 16 touchdowns. The numbers were there sometimes, but in the big games, you just know that LSU has struggled for the last, God, for a long time at the quarterback position. And there's just no answers right there that it seems right now we don't know. There's too many question marks for this ball club. To get into their offense really quick and move along, they've got Miles Brennan back, who's a young quarterback, and along with Lowell Narcisse. And they're going to
– Narcissist.
Yeah. They're going to battle it out at quarterback. Probably freshmen are going to get in the mix here. There's no telling. They lost two NFL-caliber running backs last year, and Nick Brissett and Clyde Edwards-Hilaire will have to fill the void. Brissett had a career average of per carry at 6.7 yards. That's pretty good, pretty solid. They do play a fullback. They play a traditional I pro style formation. Torrey Carter is there, and David Decree will back them up. They get touches as well. They catch passes. They make big blocks. Jonathan Giles was Texas Tech's leading receiver in 2017. He has transferred here. Expected big things out of him. D. Anderson will back him up. Justin Jefferson and Terrace Marshall will battle it out for the other wide receiver spot. They play a split in and a flanker position as well, very old school. At tight end, returning starter Foster Moreau, he tied with two others for a team high and three touchdowns. Just not really getting it done in the aerial attack, but he'll be backed up by Ja'Cory Washington. At left tackle, we have returning starter Sadiq Charles. He started 9 games last year and made the All-SEC freshman team. Badera Traore will back him up. Garrett Brumfield back at left guard starting. He turned down the draft, and he'll be backed up by Donovan Campbell. Lloyd Cushenberry and Cole Smith are going to battle it out at center. Right guard Ed Ingram and is back. He was started last year. Be backed up by Ja'Cory Savage. Right tackle, we have Adrian McGee, who is getting his opportunity playing behind guys, and he'll battle it out with Austin DeCulis at right tackle position. Cole Tracy is a transfer that is supposed to usurp Connor Culp at the kicking position. On the defensive side of the ball, we've got Rashard Lawrence, returning starter, and he's overcome an ankle injury, and he's going to be backed up by Glenn Logan. Ed Alexander is, and Tyler Shelvin will battle it out for one defensive tackle position. Kalavon Chason is a returning starter at the other defensive tackle position, be backed up by David Cotton. Braden Fajuko started all 25 games in his career at Texas Tech. He's a transfer here to LSU, and he's penciled in as one of your starters at defensive end. Neil Farrell will back him up. Returning starter at linebacker Devin White, he's won awards. He'll be backed up by Patrick Queen. Michael Divinity is your starting middle linebacker. He'll be backed up by Andre Anthony. At the other linebacker position, Tyler Taylor is a returning starter.
Tyler Taylor.
Yeah. And he'll be backed up by Jacob Phillips. There's a bunch of weird names on this defense. Greedy Williams is one of your starters at corner. And he'll be backed up by Manny Netherly. John Trey Kirkland at the other corner position. And he was a former quarterback, it says here. I got a little notes here. He'll be backed up by Kerry Vincent. John Battle returning at strong safety. He turned down the draft as well. He'll be backed up by Jacoby Stevens. Grant Delpit is your starting free safety. He's had injury problems, but he's back. Ed Paris will back him up. And Zach Von Rosenberg, who is a 6'5", 250-pound punter, is back for the Bayou Bengals. As I said, there are question marks here.
So they got a linebacker punting?
Pretty much. I mean, he might want to ring your bell, too. Like we just went over, 13 starters back. It's 4 on offense, 7 on defense, your kicker and your punter. But, Taylor, let's get into the schedule and see what we see here. They open the season in Jerry World against the Canes.
Lose.
I agree. Southeast Louisiana at home when they come back to Baton Rouge. The next week.
Win.
All right. At Auburn.
Lose.
Yeah. La Tech at home.
Win.
Yeah. Ole Miss at home.
I can see that going in.
Weird football game. Two teams kind of in the same. They're fighting. They really are. They're fighting for position. And I think Ole Miss, don't write off Ole Miss yet. They still got a lot of talent, a lot of craziness there. But I see what you're saying. At Florida in the Swamp.
Lose.
Okay. Did we call that? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Georgia.
Lose.
What did you say Pharrell saying? Georgia could –
Georgia.
That was one of Georgia's
scary games. Loss.
And then Carolina being the other. Yeah. Those being the two. Okay, that was nice of him to say that. Mississippi State at home. Team that obliterated them last year. Maybe some revenge on their mind.
I doubt it.
I don't doubt it'll be on their mind.
Oh, yeah, they'll be thinking.
So you had
them
losing
it.
To Georgia, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. Bama comes into town.
Big loss.
How you have those three games in a row at home, all at home? Boy, their ticket holders are probably happy. Well, they might not be happy at the end of the game. All right. At Arkansas.
What did I pick for them?
I think you said the Hogs were going to beat them.
Okay.
But maybe I'm wrong.
We'll go with that.
Rice.
Win.
Yeah, I think so. At A&M to close it out.
Lose.
Boy, this is tough. This is tough for me to say, but I'm going to call Miami a loss, Auburn a loss. Either Ole Miss or Florida lost one of those. So that's three right there. Georgia, Mississippi State, Bama. I think they lose two of those three. I'm not going to say which ones. So that's five losses. And then Arkansas, Rice. And this could be if LSU's defense is not absolutely outstanding because they're going to have to give their offense. I don't think they can beat the Canes. But if they don't have things figured out on offense by the time they play – Ole Miss or at Florida, they're going to be in a world of hurt. I could see them winning seven games, Taylor. All right. So we do have some newcomers I'll talk about briefly that could be of impact. You know they need playmakers. We just told you that. 6'3", 195-pound wide receiver, Terrace Marshall. I think we actually mentioned him already being penciled in as a backup. Kelvin Joseph at defensive back, 6'1", 195. You could see him play as a freshman. And Jamar Chase at wide receiver, 6'1", 195. He was one of the biggest wide receiver recruits in the nation. And a sleeper pick, Cameron Wire at offensive tackle. So I think we got seven wins for LSU. Is that what we're saying? So we can put a bow on that and move on to the Ole Miss Rebels. Now, Matt Luke stepped in as head coach when Hugh Freeze resigned because of a pattern of misconduct. Shea Patterson was lost for the year in October to a knee injury. Just a bunch of stuff happened to this football team with what most people would think of nothing to play for. They ended up 6-6 for an interim coach. Really the only bad losses were the shellacking by the Tide, 66-3. That was embarrassing. And they gave up a 24-point lead to lose to Arkansas by one, 38-37. That was just a tough loss. And you know, really the other losses were kind of expected. And they finished the season on a high note, beating Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl. So that's just, you know, the guys that did stick around and the guys, the recruits that decided to want to go here, there's still some winning to be done at Ole Miss. They're in a fertile recruiting area. They scrapped together a decent class last year. It's not making national news. It was ranked 31st and 10th in the conference. But they're holding it together. They've got a lot of players back on the offensive side of the ball, including most of the offensive line. They've got some skilled players back. They're going to have to find a quarterback. Now, they're missing a lot on defense. And they went 6-6 last season. They didn't have a horrible year. I think people had expected them to do a little more with the big offense coming back. Patterson went down not quite halfway through the season. Last year on offense, though, they ranked 18th in the nation with 462 yards a game. Passing, they had 328 a game, that ranked 11th nationally. Rushing, they gained 134 yards a game, which that was low, and ranked 103rd nationally. But in scoring, 32 points a game for 33rd national rank. Defensively is where they were really abysmal. Scoring, they gave up 34 points a game. That ranked 109th. Rushing, gave up 245. That ranked 123rd. Passing, gave up 214. That ranked 52nd nationally. And total offense, very, very bad. They ranked 115th, giving up 460 yards a game, which is just minus five in turnovers as well, which ranked 97th. Lost a lot of players. Patterson last year before he went down, 17 touchdowns, 9 picks. And rushing, though, they had not too good a time. One pretty good back, Wilkins, and he's gone as well. So you're losing pretty much your entire backfield. Well, you are losing your entire backfield unless they employ some fullback I don't know about. But going to keep it together, kind of run the same stuff I would imagine offensively. Go to their depth chart here. They've got a grand total of 8 starters back on offense, 6 on defense for a total of 14. So could be about the same team as you saw last year, maybe even a little better. We'll get into that in a minute. Jordan Tamu is penciled in as the starter, battling it out with Matt Corral. Eric Sweeney and Scotty Phillips are going to get the first cracks at the starting tailback position. A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, and DeMarcus Lodge are all 3 starters back at wide receivers. A.J. Brown's built like a linebacker, but he's got the speed of a corner. They say he's just absolutely elite future NFL player, backed up by Braylon Sanders. D.K. Metcalf will be he's 6'4". He gets to everything, catches everything thrown at him. DeMarcus Gregory will back him up, and DeMarcus Lodge was exploded, and he was the basically what they're calling this is this team has 3 number one receivers right here. So it should make whoever wins the quarterback job should make his life easy because, like I said, they're almost their entire offensive line is back. You also got starter back Dawson Knox, who was a walk-on. He's a big-time target in the middle of the field at tight end, backed up by Octavius Cooley. Greg Little's back at left tackle at starter. He was all SEC last season. He's already started 17 games. He's just a junior. Tony Gray will back him up. Javon Patterson is your starter at left guard. He's a 4-year starter. Now this will be his 4th-year starter. And Chandler Tutt will back him up. Sean Rawlings at center has converted from defensive tackle and has played offensive tackle, my bad, and has played really well at center, and he's back. Jordan Sims will back him up. Jordan Sims will also compete for the job at right guard with Ben Brown. Alex Givens is your starter at right tackle, who played guard and tackle last season. Bounced back and forth. Royce Newman will back him up. Luke Logan's your new kicker, who was the kickoff specialist now, who will handle everything. He'll be battled by Patrick Nastjafa. And on the defensive side of the ball, I think I said there were 6 starters back. This is not one of them. Defensive end Ryder Anderson. Played a little bit as a freshman. He'll battle it out with Brendan Williams at one end position. Both your starters in the middle, Benito Jones and Hosea Cotney, will be back in the middle. 12 tackles for loss for Benito Jones in his first 2 years and 8 tackles for loss for Josiah Cotney and 3.5 sacks last year. They'll be backed up by Howell Northern and Austrian Robinson. At defensive end, Quadir Shepherd is a Syracuse transfer. He's looking for playing time, battling out with senior Victor Evans. At linebacker, we have Dietrich Bing Dukes, backed up by Dante Evans. Josh Clark, backed up by Willie Hibbler. Ken Webster will play corner along with Miles Hartsfield, and they will be backed up by Dede Bowie and Javian Hamilton. Miles Hartsfield is now in his 3rd year as a starter. They think he's some people are picking him preseason All-SEC already. At nickel back, you got Vernon Dasher, who's a junior college signee. He played linebacker, but they think he's fast enough to play here. He'll be backed up by Cam Ordway. Strong safety, we have Zedrick Woods. He was their best safety a year ago, and he will battle it out or C.J. Miller will battle it out behind him. At free safety, C.J. Moore and Jalen Jones both played at starting positions last year. One was a corner, and C.J. Moore will wear the number 38 for Chucky Mullins Award as a memorial. This season, Mack Brown is your punter, backed up by Jack Cooper. Let's get into
Mack Brown.
Matt.
He's a little old to be a punter.
They opened it up with Texas Tech in Houston. What do we know about Texas Tech? They like to sling
they like to throw it around, but so does
Ole Miss.
Lose.
Okay. Southern Illinois.
Win.
Bama.
Lose.
Kent State.
Win.
At LSU.
What did I just pick for that?
I think you picked Ole Miss.
Okay.
Monroe. Louisiana Monroe.
Win.
At Arkansas. I think you picked that a win earlier, but I could be wrong.
I just so hard to remember.
Whatever. Auburn.
A big lose.
Big lose. Gamecocks in Oxford.
Big lose.
Oh, you think we take them? Yeah. I think we predicted Ole Miss to beat Carolina on our episode. That was really just to say that's one of those games I could definitely see them losing. These are not ironclad. I think the Gamecocks can beat them, but I do think we have enough weapons on the offense at Ole Miss to get it cooking at home. I could call it – I'm going to call it a loss just because I called it a win on the Gamecock podcast. How about that? At A&M.
Lose.
At Vandy.
Lose.
Mississippi State at home.
Lose.
All right, so you're looking at probably like a 5 wins is what I think you got, something like that.
Not good.
Whatever, they went 6-6 last year. Let's just be nice and say they can find a way to go 6-6 this year. How about that? You down with that?
Yep.
Moving on to their enemies, Start Vegas, Mississippi State Bulldogs. They've got them a new coach. And Joe Moorhead is his name. He is filling in for Dan Mullen, who's taking his talents to Florida. So we got a team that was 9-4 last season. Got a lot of players back, 16 starters, 8 on offense, 7 on defense, and their kicker. Last season, their big wins were the pounding of LSU, then they went the next week and got obliterated by Georgia, then just smoked by Auburn. Then they reeled off 4 straight. They lost to Bama in a tough one. They beat Arkansas in a tough one, and they lost to Ole Miss in a tough one, and their quarterback went down in that game. Nasty injury. It was a nasty injury, and they lost that game. Then they beat Louisville in the Tax Slayer Bowl, which I think used to be the old Gator Bowl. Maybe there's a Gator Bowl now. I hate that I don't know that. But ton of starters back here in Stark Vegas. Throw you some numbers real quickly. In 2017, they scored 32 points a game, which ranked 41st. They rushed for 251, which ranked 11th. They passed for only 167. That ranked 112th. But they had 418 yards of offense, which tied for 46th in the nation. On defense, pretty stout defense. Scoring defense, 21 points a game. That tied for 26th in the country. Rushing, they gave up 131 yards a game. That was 28th. Passing, they gave up 175. That was 12th. And total, they only gave up 306. That was 10th in the nation. So the number 10 total defense, they're returning some playmakers, especially up front. They're going to be strong. And you can always, when you're strong up front, and Clemson fans would know this, and Carolina fans would know this from several years ago, when you're strong up front, your players in the back can play way more freely. They can make mistakes because you're going to get to the quarterback and cause havoc. So recruiting, a little bit better than normal, actually, for Mississippi State. And they've been – well, I think they had a nice one a couple years ago, but they normally aren't in the top 25, and they've cracked it a few times in the last few years under Mullen. They're actually 27th this year with a new coaching staff, 6 four-stars, 17 three-stars. You got some guys, Stephen Guidry at wide receiver. He's expected to maybe play this year, 6'4", 190. Malik Heath, 6'3", 205. He's expected to push for playing time as well at wide receiver. And Quatrivious Johnson, 6'7", 335-pound tackle, is already – they're saying he already has the potential to be all SEC within the next year. So he's going to probably see the field a guy that size. You get him in weight room, he's going to be solid. And then we got a sleeper three-star prospect, 6'3", 285-pound defensive end. Mississippi State always can – that area of the country, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, loaded with big, quick, athletic defensive linemen. It's a really robust place to recruit there. Now, get into their depth chart. Starting quarterback Nick Fitzgerald is back. He's going to be backed up by Ketayon Thompson. Okay, I hope I said that right. Fitzgerald is needs to improve his passing game, but a deadly runner, big kid, does have a big live arm. Last season, let's talk about his stat just 1 second. He threw for 1,782 yards, 15 touchdowns, threw way too many picks with 11. But rushing, he had 984 yards and 14 touchdowns. So, going to definitely be a big part of that game. I would think they keep the offense very, very similar. At running back, Aris Williams is back. He's a freak. There's no doubt about that. Speed, strength, just behind a almost entirely veteran offensive. Well, it is a veteran offensive line, but returning starting offensive line, he's going to be a beast. Battled by Kylan Hill, Stephen Guidry, and Reggie Todd, these are junior college transfers. They're looking to, like I said, Guidry a while ago could be a guy that pushes for playing time. Jesse Jackson is back, starter at wide receiver. He led the team in receptions and receiving yards last year. He'll be backed up by Devontae Jason. Malik Deer lost last season to a torn ACL. He's going to get a shot at wide receiver with Austin Williams battling him. Verrod Green, well, needs to catch some more passes at tight end. He'll be backed up by Justin Johnson, but Farad Green is a returning starter. At left tackle, the only position that's not a returning starter on the offensive line is Greg Island and Tyre Phillips. They're going to battle it out for that spot as the Bravos just
off a pitcher hitting.
Yeah, keep piling it on here. Let's go. At left guard, Darrell Williams. He had a big season last year as a run blocker. Be backed up by Michael Story. These are all returning starters from here on out. At center, Elgton Jenkins, he's going to move from tackle inside. He'll be backed up by Blake Mitchell. Deion Calhoun is a third-year starter, and he'll be backed up by Dorian Parker. Stuart Reese made strides last season. They want him to get better, but he's back at right tackle, battled by Tommy Champion Jr.
Hmm.
And Jace Christman is back, 12 of 14 field goals. He'll have a backup there with Jordan Lawless. On the defensive side of the ball, the entire defensive line is back. Jerry Green at defensive end. He was outside linebacker last year, going to move to a 4-3. So he'll be battled by Chauncey Rivers for that spot. In the middle, Jeffrey Simmons and Braxton Hoyett, both multiple-year starters, backed up by Corey Thomas and Trey Brown. At the other end spot, Montez Sweat led the SEC with 10.5 sacks. He will be exclusively on the line where he stood up a lot last season. Marquise Spencer will battle him for that spot. At linebacker, Leo Lewis was all-SEC freshman. Didn't have as big a year last year. They're expecting more out of him. He'll be battled by Willie Gay Jr. And Enrol Thompson became a starter late, finished as the team's best tackler. Tim Washington will back him up at linebacker. Cam Dantzler and Chris Rayford at corner will battle with Jamal Peters and Maurice Smitherman. At the nickel position, Brian Cole, redshirted, left Michigan, redshirted, came here. He'll be blitzing a lot in the nickel position, backed up by Jaquarius Landrews. Strong safety, Mark McLaurin, returning starter, made 3 picks in the bowl game. He's their best cover guy in the backfield, defensive backfield, they say, and secondary. And he's backed up by Stephen Adegoke. Jonathan Abram is your alpha dog, they claim, at free safety position. He's backed up by C.J. Morgan. And Cody Schnechner will be your punter. I don't want to read it. Tucker Dale, back him up. All right, let's get into the schedule. So, first-year head coach here at Mississippi. Not first-year head coach. This is his first year at Mississippi State. He's 38-13 overall in 4 years in his career. He's a winner. He's got a lot of talent coming back. They start with Stephen F. Austin first game.
Just one person? Win.
All right. At K-State. They just signed an old man. Did you see that the other day? To a big extension. No. I think he's 78.
Yes. Yes, I did.
You saw that? Is he older than that?
No.
Old Schneider.
Yeah. That guy's, yeah.
He's a winner. That's what he is. He's a damn winner. That's a win, you say?
Yeah.
Louisiana.
A win.
That's the Raging Cajuns, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
At Kentucky.
Win.
Florida at home.
Win.
Auburn at home.
Lose.
At LSU.
Win.
A&M at home.
Lose.
La Tech at home.
Win.
At Bama.
Win. No, win. I don't know.
You said it a while ago. You did. Arkansas.
Win.
At Ole Miss. Revenge.
No.
quarterback broke his leg in the middle of the game. They were the better team. You say no? All right, I think Miss State finds a way. They went 9-4 last year. I think they find a way. Maybe this is with the bowl game as well. I think they win 9 football games again this year. I'll throw that out there. So they could end up losing 4. You disagree with that? I think you just picked them to have three losses.
Yeah.
So you got them winning 10 games with the bowl, I would say. Not a bad season for the Bulldogs, I don't think. I think they're going to be a pretty good football team. Now I got to skip on over. I think we're on our last team here that we've got to go over today, and that is the Aggies of Texas A&M. So another new head coach in the SEC West. Boy, there is a string of them. And we've got Jimbo moving over from Florida State. And he's 83-23 over 8 years in his career so far. Very successful career at Florida State. I still question whether there's some weird stuff going on there we haven't found out about yet. A&M paid through the nose for him. I mean, it was big time. How much money was that? You know, right offhand. Guaranteed 10-year deal worth $75 million. I mean, it's big. He was already a very, very wealthy man, a very successful coach, and now he is in a place that is super easy to recruit. It recruits itself. There is no excuse for this team other than the fact this is why. Okay, there is an excuse. This team wins 7 games is because they play Alabama, LSU, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and whoever they have to play in the East, not including Carolina. And I hate to say that as a Gamecock fan. This team's been a thorn in our side. We haven't proven yet that we can beat them, and I hope at some point before I become an old man, I get to see us beat this crowd, especially now that they've hired Jim. I don't like Jimbo Fisher. I don't. There's something about him, and I don't hate the guy. I'm not going to say that, but I don't like him. It's something about his demeanor that I'm not into. I'm just not. I don't feel it. I feel like he's a liar, whatever.
A cheat.
Possibly. I wouldn't put any of that past anybody in the SEC. I really would not. Or college football, for that matter. It's a scummy business sometimes. So, this team last year, they went 7-6. They had they lost to UCLA in a crazy-ass game to begin the season, 45-44. Reeled off 4 straight, including beating my Gamecocks 24-17, which sucked. Overtime win against Arkansas the week before that. Then had a close one with Bama the next week, but came up short, beat Florida, lost 2 straight to Mississippi State and Auburn. Beat New Mexico and Ole Miss, lost to LSU, and lost to Wake 55-52 in the damn Belt Bowl. All right. So, numbers from last year. And then we'll get into what we think Jimbo can do. We'll save that for when we're done with this. I'm going to go over the numbers real quick. On offense scoring, they had 32 points a game, ranked 34th. Rushing, they were 155 for 77th nationally. Passing, they had 251 yards a game. That was good for 47th in the nation. 407 yards of total offense. That was 56th nationally. Their defense was bad. Gave up 31 points a game. That was 87th nationally. Gave up 171 rushing yards a game. That was 70th. Gave up 238 passing yards. That was 85th. And 409 yards of offense for 78th. And they were plus 3 in turnover margin, though. They've got 14 starters coming back total. 15, I'm wrong. 7 on offense, 7 on defense, and their kicker. So I would anticipate that means they could definitely be better. A lot of guys coming back. But don't have they do have a trigger man back, and he is their returning, or the guy that's played at the end of the year, Mond. He didn't have really great numbers, 8 touchdowns, 6 picks, but he threw for almost 1,400 yards. And he also ran for 340 and 3 touchdowns. So he's kind of penciled into a battle with Nick Starkle on the offense. Starkle threw for 500 yards in the bowl game. 499 in the bowl game. So he took over kind of there. It's always been a question mark there. When you recruit a 4- or 5-star quarterback every year and promise every one of them for years they're going to be the starter and get playing time as a freshman, that's when you get these. I think last year there was 4 Texas A&M quarterbacks that were starting for other FBS teams. I may be off on that. It might only have been 3. But it's a lot, and Texas is loaded with talent, no doubt about it. I think I don't know. I'll get into my conspiracy in a second. Travion Williams is returning starter at running back. He's very, very good. Jacob Cabote will back him up. Rashad Paul and Cameron Buckley will battle it out for Christian Kirk's spot at wide receiver. Jamon Osmond is back. He's big and physical at wide receiver. He's a returning starter. Hezekiah Jones will back him up. Newcomer Kendrick Rogers and Clyde Chris will battle it out for the other wide receiver position. Jay Stemberger and Trevor Wood are supposed to be big parts of Jimbo's offense at tight end. They're going to battle it out. On the offensive line, where we have three starters back, one of them that's not a starter is Dan Moore at left tackle. He takes over for the Syracuse transfer, Coda Martin from last year. Colton Blanton will back him up at left tackle. Keaton Sutherland and Ryan McCullum will battle it out at left guard. Both of them started, one of them at left tackle last year, or at right tackle last year, Ryan McCullum. This year, Eric McCoy will be the center. Connor Lanfear is back, returning starter at right guard. Jared Hooker will back him up. Colton Prater will also back up the center and the other guard. Right tackle Carson Green and Kellen Deesh will battle it out there. At place kicker, Daniel Lacamara made 18 of 21 field goals. Only had had two misses, and they were both from 50. His two of his misses were from 50-plus. Brandon Mann will be behind him. On the defensive side of the ball, we had a guy, Landis Durham, at defensive end that tied for the SEC lead with 10.5 sacks. He'll be backed up by Andario Robinson. Justin Matabuguke and Dylan Mack will battle it out at defensive tackle. Kingsley Keek is back at the other defensive tackle position, 21 career starts. He's backed up by Jaden Peavy. Michael Clemens at defensive end will battle it out with Tyree Johnson. At linebacker, we got two starters back, Ataru Alaka and Tyrell Dodson. Alaka had 78 tackles last season, has 33 career starts. Anthony Hines will back him up, and Santino Marichal will back the other guy up. Buddy Johnson closed out the regular season with 9 tackles at LSU. He's going to play linebacker along with Ikenna Okeke. And at corner, two starters back, Debbion Renfro, who was 6th on the defense with 54 tackles and 5 pass breakups, and Charles Oliver, who timed for the lead with 8 pass breakups, will be backed up by Travon Fuller and Clifford Chapman. At strong safety, Donovan Wilson has another senior year after a medical redshirt, and he'll be backed up by Derek Tucker, and Derek Tucker will possibly man the free safety position. He is the returning starter from free safety and was 5th on the team in tackles with 55, but he'll have competition from Keldrick Carper. And Braden Mann, the other kicker, is the punter. So, that being said, big-time recruiting class once again for the Aggies. Nothing shocking there. They're getting way better at it, honestly. 3rd in the nation and 6th in the SEC. They had 12 4-stars, 11 3-stars, no blue chippers. Persons of interest, Leon – I said that kind of sounds bad, persons of interest – Leon, but they might be, actually. Leon O'Neal, 6'1", 190-pound safety, expected to compete for playing time. Bobby Brown at defensive tackle, 6'4", 285, expected to get in there and push the defensive lineman. And Jalen Preston at wide receiver, big 4-star, 6'2", 215. It doesn't have great speed, but has great hands. He's going to push for time. And going from there, how about their schedule?
How about it?
Northwestern State opens it up, Taylor. What you think?
When?
Guess who comes to town the next week? We've talked about this before, and this is you. Take a guess. Out of conference, fuck.
Out of conference?
Yep.
Us?
How are we out of conference, dummy?
Oh, out of that conference.
The Tigers play them.
Do they?
Yeah. What do you think happens? We called it a win on the other podcast. Well, that I'm not trying to influence.
It's going
to
be a win on the other podcast.
On the other podcast, it's going to be a win, but not on this one.
Yeah, no, it's a win. Loss on this
one? Oh, it's a win here, too. Okay.
Absolutely.
Louisiana Monroe.
Win.
In Tuscaloosa.
Loss.
I would think so, too. Jerry World versus Arkansas.
Win.
Kentucky.
Win.
Columbia, South Carolina.
Win.
Man, come on, man. At Miss State. Are we ever going to beat them? I hope we do. This is one hurdle we got to. I really got to get over them. Miss State, you're giving it a loss?
Yeah.
Okay. At Auburn.
Loss.
Ole Miss.
I done forgot what I picked.
UAB.
Win.
LSU.
Win.
So you got them winning, what, 8 games? You got them losing to Clemson. You got them losing to Bama, right?
Yeah.
And Miss State, Auburn. You got them.
I mean, there's
– you got to win 8 games, I guess.
Some games in there.
I think coming off 7-6, they got a hell of a coach. They got a lot of talent back. They find a quarterback, and they've got guys that have played. We just told you that. So if they figure out who's the quarterback and run the system, you know, keep the offense as similar as you can, I would think, when you got this many players back, especially your linemen. Keep it pretty simple, and I think they could do some big stuff. Jimbo, to me, it's possible he left Florida State in my mind because he honestly – and I'm not trying to say this to suck up to Clemson fans. You know, I'm a huge Gamecock fan. There's no doubt about it. But I do think he was kind of – I think he was kind of scared a little bit of what was going on there. Clemson is better than them right now. It might take somebody like a Willie Taggart to get in there and re-energize the program. Maybe it was getting stale. Maybe we find out a year or two from now there's some crazy stuff going on down in Tallahassee. Who knows? I'm not trying to put that on the guy. But I don't like the Aggies. They've become a big thorn in my side as a fan. I'm tired of watching them. They blew us up the first time we played them. I don't want to talk about them anymore. So let's just get on into – we've kind of given it away, but let's kind of be as definitive as we can be this far out of football season. We still have possible arrests to go, possible coaches on jet skis with other people's wives, I mean, or whatever. We've got a long time to go, even though it's only a few weeks. Who do you think wins the SEC West? You had, just to remind you, you had Auburn going undefeated.
Then I guess that's it.
You're going with Auburn.
Yes.
I do not think it's a bad pick, and I'm gonna agree with you. I'm going to say Auburn wins the SEC West. I will pick against Alabama. I'll stick it out there. The fact Bama only has 2 starters back on defense. Auburn returns a lot of talent on that side of the ball. They return a quarterback that I think is better suited to throw the ball and distribute the football in any way than either one of the guys at Bama. I really do. I think Jalen Hurts, when you watched him against like Clemson, you watched him against Auburn, he struggled mightily. He struggled against Georgia mightily. And the other guy, Tua, whatever, he came in, played very well, won him the ring, but made some stupid plays as well where he scrambled around and didn't stay in the pocket. I think Stidham's a better quarterback than those two. When Stidham looked bad, it was against a really, really good defense as well, but I do think Stidham probably has a better overall passer mentality than the other two guys. I think he's more accurate. So I don't think it's wrong to go with Auburn here. Who do you think's the bottom of the conference? I guess you would have to say I can throw 2 out there that'll make sense, Ole Miss and Arkansas. And the third one I'll throw down there is LSU because they don't have a quarterback. I mean, and in this league, that is so important. It really is. In any league, that's important. But in the SEC and the ACC where you have these pass rushers and these great big linebackers and just freak safeties and corners, it's very, very hard to play quarter. It's the closest. Those two conferences are the closest you can come to simulating what you're going to see on Sunday. So not saying all quarterbacks come from there, but that is the closest in – you get what I mean. That's the closest in defense you're going to see to what you're going to see on Sunday, honestly. So that's a big reason why you see quarterbacks in other conferences put up gobs of numbers that these guys down south don't necessarily do. So I think we're square on that. I think Auburn is our pick. I think they can easily win 10 or 11 football games this year. I also think Bama can. Mississippi State, I'm not trying to jump on their bandwagon, but they have enough talent back and have recruited well enough to throw a monkey wrench out there if one of these teams can get an upset pulled on them. They could be right there in the mix because they could beat Bama or beat Auburn. It's possible. Georgia playing these West teams this season as well is going to throw a big little wrench in there, too. You know what I mean. We're winding this down. So I think that's going to wrap it up. We went a little longer than we expected to. I want to kind of try to condense these, but we don't have these long episodes coming in the next few weeks. It's going to be a way shorter format. We're going to think of something to do next week, and then getting into the games, it's just going to be a recap mode, so we'll keep it a lot shorter than this. Thanks for listening to the Cock of the Walk podcast. This has been your SEC West preview with Wesley Burris and Taylor Griggs. This is a Win or Die Sports production, something we're trying to get going here, do several sports theme podcasts and whatnot. And we thank you for listening, and like us and follow us where you can, and stay tuned, and we'll keep you updated on Facebook and through social media about what's coming in the future.